to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. This program is designed around you, our listener. We look forward to having your input. Some have said down through the years, as we've done this broadcast over the years, they wanted to just call in to put in their 2 cents worth. Well, you can put in your 5 cents worth. We'd love to have your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about today what I believe to be perhaps the most serious subject, the most timely subject that we could talk about. It's an issue that's on the fast track facing America that most Americans do not even see coming. I'm calling it the American dictatorship. American dictatorship. You would think, ladies and gentlemen, that today, as Americans, that we would be thankful for our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the freedoms that's afforded to us therein. But it appears, ladies and gentlemen, today that America is looking for a system of government that will provide everything, education, medical care, housing, income, cell telephones, transportation. And on top of all of that, most people are looking for a government that will handle everything in a national emergency. Now, listen very carefully. We've had national emergencies by floods and hurricanes, etc. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says that a government, tax money, is supposed to intercede and bail that out. Now, I'm not saying that we ought not to have it. I'm saying there needs to be a consideration as to what the government is supposed to provide for us. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a national emergency and the president declares a national emergency, what does that connote? Where does that put him? We're going to talk about that and the serious ramifications of a declaration of national emergency, of which the president said in his interview with the the Weather Channel, he said that he'd already declared a national emergency, a climate national emergency, climate change national emergency. He's not, but in his mind, he's already done it. And we're going to talk about why he says that, what it would connote in the nation today, why we should be concerned in relationship to that happening. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, it's an opportunity for us to hear and heed what I believe God would have us to understand based on the authority of the Scripture. We do not base our decisions and talk about issues based on some political agenda or some denominational dogma or some philosophical rhetoric, but based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Later in the broadcast, we'll talk about it, because in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, Israel is warned by God about demanding that God allow them to appoint a king over themselves. And in the scripture, the 8th chapter, it's number 22 verse in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, God spells out very clearly to Israel, if they have what they want and a king over them, what he's going to do. He's going to make slaves out of your men and your women. He's going to take your land. he's going to basically rule over with an iron fist. Now I'm summarizing it. You read for yourself the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, and you'll see what God was saying. Samuel was in his late 60s, maybe 70 years old, and they said that Samuel was too old. They needed to replace him. The 5th verse says, "Thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways, and make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." The nation of Israel was not satisfied with having God as king over them. They wanted a human king, one that would be, in their sight, able, capable of carrying out the task. I believe we're having some of those, thoughts today in America as to what we need. We'll talk about that, but may I remind you, after our monologue today, our lines will be open. You're invited to make your telephone call, put in your 2 cents worth, have the dialogue and discussion on the issue as we unfold before our hearing today what I believe is on the horizon for America. May I say to you, as we look at the truth book, the Bible, we find in John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." May I say to you, what we need today is a good dose of old-fashioned biblical truth to get our attention in America, to cause us to turn back to God and to recognize what is taking place and why it is taking place and what we need to do as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Today, the world hates truth. It's the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that to be very factual and truthful today. May I say to you, there's a need for us to recognize what is taking place and stand and not sit in silence as to what is happening. This is the reason I get a little uptight when I realize that the latest survey says that 55% of the American millennials today, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. They say, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." That's an impossibility. Truth is only one version. You might have nuances of it. You might try to bifurcate it. But truth is truth. It goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's exactly what he did. As his life ended, being burned at the stake, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." And ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the scripture from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, we realize that it is the progressive revelation of God's truth to man, and truth shall prevail. Yes, we'll go through difficult times. Yes, there'll be dark days. Yes, there'll be times we're faced with in the political arena as we're faced with it today, and in the church arena where churches are closing by the hundreds across America. But ladies and gentlemen, truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a beautiful benchmark, an identifier. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff and the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible? Listen, I'm postulating the question. I want you to answer it. I want you, our listeners, to respond today on your thoughts and consideration of what we're saying. It is dramatic in relationship to where we are and where we're going. I believe the Biden administration is considering the declaration, a declaration of national emergency based on climate change. Listen to this article. I'll read just a portion of it. Then I'll make a few comments and open our lines for dialogue and discussion from you, our listener. Climate emergency? Biden would be basically declaring himself a dictator. Joe Biden has recently, among other incorrect statements, stated that he already has declared a national emergency over climate change. Then he explained that what was done was practically, not officially. But the concept of Joe Biden giving unrestricted orders about the economy, people's lives, and more in causing a high level of concern, he would be basically declaring himself a dictator. From environmentalism, explained H. Sterling Bennett, or Burnett, a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute with a focus on climate issues. It gives him tremendous powers, him speaking of Biden, that would range a whole range of authority to dictate things in the economy and all of actions in people's lives. He continued, we saw him say he'd already done it. Virtually, did he? Well, virtually isn't doing it. But that doesn't mean he won't do it in the near future. He's already talking about it. Will Joe Biden use a false reason of climate emergency to make himself a dictator? There's been a constant drumbeat from the environmentalists in the progressive wing of the party to do just that. What would a climate change national emergency do? This article says it would allow a vast, unchecked authority to shut down everything from communications to all infrastructure. Just the News reported that it could include ending oil exports, offshore oil and gas leasing, speeding up the green transition. The report said that even the left-leaning Berman Center for Justice warned such powers would provide the mechanism for undermining all the democracy, entrenching political power forever, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, that's a chilling thought, that Joe Biden would declare a climate change national emergency. And listen very carefully. The stage is being set. The people are being put in place. The World Health Organization is already on board with that. Tedros, the head of the World Health Organization, has already said that climate change is a national health emergency. He's already made that statement. Joe Biden's already made that statement dozens and dozens of times. All they've got to do is declare it as a presidential declaration of a national emergency. It is something that is going to take place, in my most humble opinion. I'm looking at an article that basically further elaborates. Biden says he's practically declared a national climate emergency. President Joe Biden says he's practically declared that national climate change emergency, that he's yet to make it official as a declaration. In an interview aired on August the 9th, the president was asked by the Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams whether he was prepared to declare a national emergency with respect to climate change. I've already done that, he responded. We've conserved more land. We've rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. We passed $368 billion climate control facility. We're moving. It's the existential threat to all of humanity. It's, speaking of climate change, when pressed again whether or not he had already declared a national emergency, he added, practically speaking, yes, I've already done that. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it mean to America. We're going to talk about that question. What will he mean to America if he does that, when he does that? And I believe it's on the horizon. There are several things that will be triggered immediately by a declaration of a national climate change health emergency notification. We're going to talk about that unfurling of the powers that Joe Biden would have, which would be dictatorial powers, once that's done. And he is petrified, his whole puppeteer team's petrified with the upcoming election, knowing full well they stole the election in 2020, knowing full well they cannot legally beat Donald J. Trump and a face-off in 2024. They're setting the stage. If they cannot imprison him, if they cannot destroy him by the four different indictments now, they have a secondary plan in mind, a backup plan. And that backup plan is to declare a national climate change health concern emergency. I'm telling you, that's on the horizon. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hope you're having a blessed day. I know you are.
Wonderful day. Listen, when I wake up, open my eyes, and realize I'm still alive, that's a good day on anybody's calendar.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just got like two comments. I love the way the people in Hawaii greeted him. And they didn't say, President Joe, go home. They said, Joe, go home.
They booed him. They invited him to leave quickly.
I love that, though. I love it. I love it. I love it. And like you were saying, see, they're trying to stop Trump because Trump is not a part of the swamp. When he was running America, we were on board. We were good to go. China did not try anything. Russia did not try anything. They know we got a puppet government run by George Soros and Barack Hussein Obama.
Yes. You hit the nail right on the head, spot on with what you're saying. In fact, Kenneth, I'm looking at a headline that's frightening. It says, Biden's DOJ, quote, put Trump in jail for centuries or even kill him. Joe Biden's Department of Justice is going after the chief political rival in the 2024 presidential race with a vengeance, listing charges that could bring him centuries in prison or even the death penalty, cited the latest complaint by Jack Smith, Biden's Department of Justice. It goes on and on and on. But the bottom line is some unknown person within the DOJ said we need to put Trump in jail for centuries. And if that doesn't work, even kill him. I'm amazed that somebody's not in jail for making that verbal threat on President Donald J. Trump's life.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And I don't know why they keep, especially in Georgia, this is so crazy to me, stupid, but they're trying to take everything off of Hunter Biden and put it on Trump. The mainstream media will not talk about Hunter Biden and what was happening with him, what's happening with him. And the young lady that was the judge over him and said a plea deal, and she said, isn't he still getting investigated? And then she said, yes. She said, oh, no. No plea deal. Now I think they removed her. They got another judge in there.
Well, what they're trying to do, Kenneth, if I can jump in, they have slow walked that investigation with Hunter Biden for about 5 years. They waited until the statute of limitations had expired on charging him for not accounting for about $2 million worth of income the IRS had discovered. They let the statute of limitations expire on the illegal ownership of a gun and the charges there. What they're doing now, they're just simply allowing Weiss, that is the DOJ representative that's been appointed as a special counsel. They're doing that to shroud him so that he cannot be interrogated, subpoenaed by the investigatory team from the House of Representatives. They're doing that to simply slow walk it until all statute of limitations have expired before they try to do anything. And if it goes past the 2024 election, if we have a Donald Trump or other Republican in office, they will say, well, it's been too long, too late, nothing we can do. He will never be prosecuted appropriately, yet they're trying to crucify Donald J. Trump. And everything that Hillary Clinton and the DNC had and the DOJ had claimed on President Trump 2015, 2016, 2017, now the reality is that's what they were doing. They were doing themselves. So what we're watching is the slow motion of the deterioration, the destruction, the undermining of the foundation of our nation, the Constitutional Republic. And Kenneth, one other thing. I get a little upset when our politicians, both Republican and the Socialist Marxist Party, called the Democrats, when they refer to it as our democracy. Democracy is simply mob rule. We're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. And I want to scream that at the television every time I hear these anchors talking about democracy. We do not live under a democracy. It's devolving to a democracy where mob rules, but we have a constitutional republic. And that's the reason I hate to see what is taking place today with our leadership, and especially now with the Biden administration on the verge of a declaration of dictatorship for Joe Biden. Kenneth, you're exactly right. You have any other thoughts, comments that you want to add to what we're talking about today?
I'm going to tell you, it's not him. It's his puppet masters that's doing this. I remember when Obama was in office and Benjamin Netanyahu came over to ask him not to help Iran get nuclear power because it was talking about nuclear power for the people. And I remember he had him go through the back door. That reminds me back in the 50s and 60s. He had him go through the back door. His family and they left out the front door. When the Muslim Brotherhood came over, he greeted them at the front door. I think he spent, 45 minutes or 35 minutes with Benjamin and with the what I call them, the mob. When they came, he spent three or four hours, I think.
About a half a day. You're exactly right. And the bottom line is, if I can make a transition of thought, one of the Republican candidates for president, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is against the Americans having any support for the Israeli government. If nothing else, I say no on Vivek, because he wants to remove any support that we have for Israel. And I think once that is done, if that is ever done fully, we have destroyed anything called God's sovereign protection over America. Kenneth, the bottom line is, we're in serious trouble in America. We need to pray in every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot. We need to look up and recognize what's happening, realize what is taking place, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, stop being silent. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day.
Can I say one more thing?
Go ahead. Yes.
If he's talking about running for president again, if he wins, the people are going to revolt.
I don't think there's any question about that. If he wins, they'll revolt. If he does not win, I believe there'll be a revolt. I don't think there's anything but rough waters before us in America as a result of how we have become divided today. And it's a division based on constitutional republic and based on a socialist Marxist viewpoint that's being forced upon us by people like Biden and his puppeteers and AOC and the other three, as I call it, in the House of Representatives, that a socialist Marxist communist party that's representing the Democratic Party today. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about American dictatorship. Is it possible for Joe Biden to declare a national health emergency based on climate change and as a result of that, take full control without any congressional oversight, any congressional input, without passing any laws. In fact, he would not have to do anything other than what he would call continuing with his executive orders, as he has done for the entire administration. I believe that the between the fall and next spring, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, the puppet president of America, will declare a national health emergency. National health emergency. I believe that's on the fast track. I believe that's where we're headed. Of course, it will be a pretense. It will be supposedly they're having to do that to protect us. We've got several articles we'll be talking about on the broadcast today. We're already hearing the socialist Marxist media touting how many people are dying, how many people are going to the hospital, how we have a revival of the COVID-19 under a different strain with a different ID identification, if you will. But the Marxist media is already ahead of Joe Biden and the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, touting the fact that we have major health issues that's before us, and we need to do something about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Joe Biden will use the pretense of protecting us and protecting our health due to the climate change. Also, another pandemic will be on the horizon, and supposedly he will be protecting us from the pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole issue with COVID-19 for the past 3 years was a demonic lie, a lie that was designed to control the people, to force submission, to close churches, and to do things that otherwise could not have been done had it not been declared a pandemic. A pandemic, ladies and gentlemen, as declared, is also a mechanism to give total control by the federal government over our lives, supposedly to protect us. Remember, the Marxist media are now hawking serious increase in COVID, suggesting that we once again need to mask up, that we once again need to recognize that it's very, very dangerous. And there's a new COVID strain, they say, that's out. Listen, political leaders in Hawaii are even saying that the fire that incinerated thousands of lives was because of climate change. I'm looking at the headline. This headline tells it all, I believe, ladies and gentlemen. Dated August the 21st, just a couple of days ago, headline says, could mask mandates and COVID hysteria be making a comeback? With new COVID variant in the news, the same media and activists on the left who were most fanatical about mask and other heavy-handed COVID policies during the pandemic are now pushing mask mandates once again. Conservatives warned it could be a precursor to the return of the oppression in the name of fighting COVID and vowed collectively not to comply. U.S. Senator Mike Lee, a Republican of Utah, tweeted out the message, quote, COVID does not equal constitutional authority. Above a tweet by Ryan Cunningham that states, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the Biden administration are fear-mongering a new COVID variant after highly mutated strain reported in Michigan. Sources in DHS and emergency management are already preparing for, listen to what this article says, DHS and emergency management already preparing for lockdowns and restrictions across America. Look at today's headlines, this writer says. It's a coordinated government and media campaign to force lockdowns in America. The Post flashed a string of ominous-sounding headlines for the following media: CBS News, NBC News, The Guardian, CNBC, Times of Israel, ABC News, Reuters, Washington Post, and The New York Post. Here's the headline in the left-wing British newspaper, The Guardian. Quote, new COVID variant causing concerns among scientists detected in London, end quote. But with most Americans enjoying their freedom and thrilled that the era of compelled mask wearing is over, and conservatives already vowing not to comply, a renewed COVID restriction. And the article goes on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, they're setting the stage. They're getting ready. And Joe Biden will introduce a national emergency to take full control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news for about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The cleanup is underway in Southern California, pounded by its first tropical storm in more than 80 years. Tropical Storm Hillary washed out roads, unleashed mud and rock slides before moving north. For as long as it takes, that's how long President Biden says the federal government will be there to help Maui residents rebuild their lives following the devastating wildfires on the island. Former President Trump says he'll surrender Thursday, face charges that he tried to overturn the outcome of the 2020 presidential election in Georgia, all because he had openly challenged the results. And a federal appeals court is allowing Alabama to enforce a ban on the use of puberty blockers and hormone treatments for youngsters. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 97 points, the NASDAQ 28 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear your thoughts, your input, dialogue, and discussion on the issue we're talking about today. American dictatorship. Is it possible for President Joe Biden to declare a national emergency and become the dictator-in-chief in America? Headline that I read earlier, climate emergency. Biden would be basically declaring himself a dictator. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what that entails, what it includes for a dictator, if Biden were to declare that national emergency and the powers that he would have, this article says would give him vast unchecked authority to shut down everything from communication to infrastructure, banking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The report included he would end oil exports, offshore oil, gas leasing, speeding up the green transition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe that's exactly what he'll do. The handwriting is on the wall. The socialist Marxist media, linked with the socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party known as Democrats, they realize that unless there's major, major, major theft of the election in 2024, that they have no hope in reelecting Joe Biden. Well, number one, let me put a little parenthetical footnote there. Joe Biden's name, in my most humble opinion, will not be on the 2024 ballot for the election. I've said that for over 2 years, that somehow, some way, they're going to remove Kamala Harris, put her in a soft position with a high salary. By appointment, some way, they will replace her with either Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, or with the Michelle Obama. And then Joe Biden will be removed under 25th Amendment, and then that person that was appointed, that will be appointed as vice president, will become president, which would then, in that brief period of time, be on the ballot then for November of 2024. But in the meantime, the issue that we're talking about today is the potential for Joe Biden to declare a climate change national health emergency and thereby put himself in a position of being the national dictator of the United States of America. He's already said that he's already practically declared a national emergency when he was interviewed by the network news for weather, the Weather News Channel. I believe I have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I would like to bring the your topic to the local area. I just learned that Mayor Deegan is going to be the Grand Marshal for the Pride Parade coming up in Jacksonville.
Mm.
So, in addition to that, as she is the mayor, she could declare an emergency also and start imposing mask mandates in
yes.
Jacksonville. Now, I wonder if our sheriff, T.K. Waters, who supported Dean Black, who is owned by Dean Black, if he is going to support Deegan's mask mandates, or is he going to say, no, I don't enforce it? He's supposed to be a Christian fellow. I don't know about that. But anyway, that's my point.
Well, Derby, let me just let's unpeel the onion for just a moment. Number one, I'm adamantly opposed to Donna Deegan, whether it's Donna Deegan or Lenny Curry that's just gone out of office, which is supposed to be a Republican. He was a Rhino Republican in name only. I oppose either of them taking a position as representative for all of the people to side with less than 3% of society, maybe even less than 1% of Duval Countyans that are in the category of the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. I resent that. Secondly, I believe that it was a mistake for Lenny Curry to impose a mask mandate renewed six times over a 180-day period of time for Duval County. And at the time that was done, I personally made contact with the sheriff, Sheriff Mike Williams at the time. I asked Mike if he's going to try to enforce the mask mandate, and his answer was no. And I found him to be clearly against the mask mandate and refused to enforce it when, and of course, the bottom line is, if a merchant says you've got to have a mask to go in, you've got to either leave or be charged with trespass, and so that's left up to the individual merchant. But I find it offensive for any government, governor, mayor, or for the dictatorship out of Washington to declare what needs to be done for my health. At the last count that I had in the research, 146 different researches had been done on masks, and out of the 146 researches by different research agencies, different nations, not a single research indicated the mask carries any efficacy that is benefit or protection for preventing any pathogen or preventing a transmission of a pathogen. The pathogen known as COVID-19 is 1/10 of a micron. The very best mask that is manufactured, called the N95, the micron openings are 3 microns. So the question is, can a gnat fly through a chain link fence? And that's a term that was used by OSHA on the OSHA website in relationship to the mask mandate and the mask validity. So I'm saddened to hear that. And it's my prayer that we as a city would be strong enough and we as a state would be strong enough to say no to a socialist, Marxist, communist approach of causing forced submission of the citizens under the dictatorial leadership of a national individual as Joe Biden, or on a local level or state level as a mayor or governor. I think it's time the people say enough is enough. And I think the only way that a mask mandate on a local, state, or national level can be defeated is having enough people, human beings, with a backbone to say, you're not going to force me to put a diaper on my face and breathe in that breathed out carbon dioxide that in turn will ruin my lungs and my health. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that the mask mandate will take place because not enough people will say no, especially the REC, Dean Black in Jacksonville. He will not oppose anything. He he will not say anything about it. He would just let it happen, like he let Lenny Kerry remove the statue and didn't say a word. And now we have Dean Black sponsoring a bill to protect all the monuments. That's pure hypocrisy.
Absolute hypocrisy. He's sponsoring that. Does he have co-sponsors? And do you know who those co-sponsors are?
Yeah. Well, anyway, and also I watch TV commercials about new drugs that are supposed to protect you against the whatever new thing is happening. It's going to come, you know. So they want to vaccinate you on things that are not there yet, but let's take the vaccine so you're ready for whatever comes. You know, it's always something. If you're old, if you got overweight, whatever, you got to take the vaccine. Well, most of us are old. I am old, but I'm not taking anything.
Yeah, well, the older you get, the more susceptible you are to death by way of a vaccination. I don't mind anybody knowing and hearing I'm an anti-vaxxer 100%. I believe that it's my choice to say what goes into my body, and I'm not going to allow a material to go into my body that has proven to sterilize or to debilitate or to kill the majority of those that takes the vaccination. So I'm adamantly opposed to it. And it is my prayer that we'll have a few, if nothing more, that will say no to a forced mandate of lockdowns or vaccinations or masks. Derby, the only thing we can do is keep praying and ask God to intervene, because ultimately, we're talking about now dictatorships. Ultimately, there will be a dictatorship, and that will be the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. Prior to his ultimate dictatorship, there will be the Antichrist dictatorship that will control all of humanity. And with what we see taking place under the Biden administration, it is the preparation, it is the stage being set for that ultimate dictator, the Antichrist, to step on the scene. Derby, thank you so much. Go ahead.
It's happening right now. Few people want to acknowledge it, but we are under a communist, dictatorial, tyrannical dictatorship. But it hasn't affected everybody personally yet. But
yes,
when it does, then people will revolt against it. But right now, if it doesn't kick me in the rear end, I don't care. But when it does, why didn't you care before?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. The mindset is it doesn't affect me, so I'm not going to worry about it. But by the time it affects everybody, it's too late. Too late. Once we've lost our liberties, once we have eviscerated our Bill of Rights, it is too late, too late, too late. That's what I want our listeners to understand, Derby. Derby, thank you so much for your call, for your input, and have a good day. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Is it possible for Joe Biden to make a declaration of a national health emergency and seize control and seize power as a dictator? I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's on the fast track. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Every GOP 2024 hopeful asked if they'd abolish the EPA and repeal Biden's climate change laws or climate laws. Here's what they say. And list then what others say, and some of those that are running for office. Emergency policy shaping up to be a key issue. The energy policy shaping up to be a key issue in the 2024 election. Several 2024 primary hopefuls told the Daily Caller, the News Foundation, that their administration would repeal the Biden signature climate law, defund the Environmental Protection Agency, withdraw from the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's too late for that. I believe by the time, and these politicians that are running, the wannabe presidents that are running, that have not a chance. Governor Sununu out of New Hampshire, Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey. I think they're fooling themselves and wasting a lot of money and trying to fool the public to think that somehow, some way, they can get enough traction. May I say, even with former Vice President Mike Pence running there with about 3 or 4 or 5% of the population's support, I believe they're fooling themselves and thinking they can do it. Donald Trump, as of yesterday, has a 62% rating, 62%. And most of these others that are running, 12, 14 candidates, they have anywhere from a 0.5% to, I believe, Ron DeSantis with a 16% number across the board. I think in one of the most recent polls in one of the states, he had a 20%. But ladies and gentlemen, I think that we're looking at the handwriting on the wall, and we're looking at Joe Biden and the realization and the recognition that the only way he'll be able to defeat Donald Trump is declare a national emergency. Looking at the headline, some U.S. cities consider zero beef, zero dairy, and zero cars. The leftists of the World Economic Forum arrogantly stated in 2016 that by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Now, it seems that the list of American cities is actively pursuing the ideology with their membership in the C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group, which is calling for vast new restrictions on residents, including consumption of zero beef, zero dairy, zero private vehicles, and only three new clothing items per year per person, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe all of that can be attained by a national emergency and a declaration by Joe Biden, a declaration of a climate emergency and a national emergency wherein the president takes full control without the authorization of the Senate or the House or any bill being passed. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Oh, I could definitely see Joe Biden falling into that. This is the same man upon his inauguration within a week there that came on and told us he was sick and tired of all this. And he set forth a mandate that all federal employees would be vaccinated. And he also directed the Department of Labor and a few other of his agencies to coerce private industry into complying as well. And a lot of those industries fell into place and did roll right over and didn't say a word about it. Just about all your top Fortune 500s did. I also look at each Democratic presidential, not candidate, but each Democrat who comes into the office of the presidency looks upon the previous administration that was Democrat and follows that and then does worse. Because you look at the Bill and Hillary, they left the White House and they were broke, but yet they were selling their presence to make themselves wealthy. And then Obama came in, and of course we saw the same thing. He started ruling by executive order, and then Joe comes in, and his first 100 days there, that man broke records on the number of executive orders he wrote, and then just came right out and told us we were going to comply. I will never forget as long as I have a breath in my brain between my ears, I won't forget that speech. And I won't forget several other speeches there, how despicable ultra MAGA, what a dangerous sect we were. Also, mm-hmm. that he was sick and tired of those of us that weren't going to be vaccinated and all the other silly things. This man's naturally mean-spirited. Here's another of his mean-spiritedness. He turned around and told that one union worker that he didn't work for him. Well, as far as I know, my taxes pay for his pension and for his 50 years of grifting.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I find disdainful completely is the fact that, and most are not aware of this, with all of the pharmaceutical houses that produce the vaccination that I call the deadly COVID vax, they did not require their employees to take the vaccination. I find it fascinating and disdainful that the House and the Senate were not required to take the vaccination. I find it absolutely disdainful when you understand that many of the so-called politicians and others on public network wanted to show the needle going to the arm, only to find out in research that the vials of material that was used were innate to materials, placebos, and not the same material that was going into the arms of moms and dads and sons and daughters that's now causing the death and collapse and the disability, the sterilization by mass genocide as a result of the vaccination that was forced upon the people. And the question that I'm asking that I think is a very, very, very serious question, is it possible that we're going to go through a replay of what we found in 3 years? Jim, I want to hold you for a moment. I've got an article that says, what is a national emergency? And it answers that question that I've been tiptoeing around. I want to read two or three brief paragraphs and ask your response to it. In the United States government, a national emergency is an extraordinary situation deemed by the President of the United States to threaten the health or safety of the citizens and which cannot be adequately addressed by application of other laws or executive actions. The key takeaways, this article says, under the National Emergency Act of 1976, a declaration of national emergency temporarily grants the president at least 140 special powers. The reason for declaring a national emergency and the provisions to be applied during the emergency are solely and entirely up to the discretion of the president. When and why to declare a national emergency is entirely left to the president at his discretion. This article says many legal scholars have confirmed that the Constitution gives presidents implied emergency powers by making them commander-in-chief of the armed forces and by granting them broad, largely unidentified executive powers. Many such executive powers are applied by the president through the issuance of legally binding executive orders and proclamations. Here's the key. During a declared national emergency, the president can, without any approval of Congress, freeze all bank accounts, shut down any business, shut down all electronic communications inside the United States, ground all military aircraft, and control all of the events in the nation, end quote. So the question is, Jim, do you see that as a potential for the demonic Joe Biden? I call him demonic because he is under the powers of demons and not of anything that would be called good. What are your thoughts? How do you respond to that? Reading from the article, what is a national emergency?
Well, the one word that struck me was at the beginning of the article, and that was the word extraordinary. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to bring that word into line to qualify as extraordinary. To me, extraordinary means nuclear strike. Also means a epidemic, but not on the scale of COVID. I'm talking mm-hmm. like an epidemic on the scale of smallpox, where you've got a 30% mortality ratio. That means extraordinary. If they're going to use 1%, which is no better than the common cold or flu, that's not extraordinary, but they will have to modify that word. And it's not only Joe, it's everybody that's around him. If you look at his entire staff, they are.
Well, you can look at not just the staff, Jim, but you can look at the entire socialist Marxist regime that's across America with mayors, governors, district attorneys, and so forth. I'm looking at a headline now. Hawaii governor doubles down claiming that climate change is the cause of the tragic fires in Maui. Dated August the 21st, Democratic Hawaii Governor Josh Green attributed the blame for the catastrophic Maui fires to climate change when he appeared on CBS Face the Nation Sunday to address the tragedy. He says, I know there's debate over whether or not we should talk about climate change or not. Green said during the interview, well, it's real. It's a world situation. Climate change is here. We're in the midst of it. Our planet is getting hotter and hotter with fiercer and fiercer storms, end quote. And climate change didn't cause that fire a bit more than I could cause the hurricanes to come. And yet,
well, what? Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that fact, sir. The one thing that I know that also is fact is they actually, until they restricted the amount of water they were using, they were actually making headway against mm-hmm. that fire. The individual that was in charge of that used the premise of equity for the distribution of water for farm and agricultural and consumption, and totally took out of that calculation human life. And it should never have gotten to that, ever.
And Jim, the little imbecile that you're speaking of that heads up the water supply there in Maui made the statement. I watched the interview. He made the statement that we know that the water comes from the gods and therefore we cannot displease the gods. The gods want us to distribute water on an equitable basis, and he was just doing that which was right equitably for distributing it, and let thousands of people be cremated as a result of not even allowing water to be used. But one of the other things, Jim, that I think is important for our listeners to understand is that with a declaration of national emergency, one of the major things, not just health care, not just masks, not just the lockdowns, but control of the total banking system. Now, I believe, and it's my most humble opinion, I believe that because the digital currency, the Fed coin, as it is called, already been authorized, already been ready to be released in America, I believe a declaration of national emergency will allow Biden administration to introduce and to put into play the digital currency. I'm looking at a headline. Breaking news. 57 new banks certified for Biden's digital money executive order. FedNow digital payment system. The article reads, the government wants to implement a centralized digital currency that allows them to monitor all of your financial transactions. Senate Bill 3571 describes these Fed accounts as its only matter of time until the Center's plan is fully implemented. Digital money strips away Americans' rights to their financial privacy and is a dangerous surveillance tool. CBDCs pose as a clear threat to Americans' financial independence. And it goes on to talk about that overnight, the government can restrict your ability to buy or to sell. And need ammo, you can't buy it. Business needs to need to spend money, the government can shut it down, et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying, Jim, that with a declaration of national emergency, I believe they will institute gas rationing to prevent gasoline engines. I believe they will force the use of electric vehicles if you drive any place so they keep track of where you're going and what you're doing. All of these things are already on the horizon. I believe a declaration of national emergency will be the umbrella that ties the net, that ties it all together, that allows them to usher this in all with one fell swoop. What do you say to that?
Well, I'd like to make a parody here off of a commercial that I've heard there. Basically, it's just, what's in your credit score? What's in your social credit score? Yeah, they could use that to actually create the extraordinary circumstance, because if
yes.
you ration that, it's going to shut down everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be people, you know, there will be people that are normally good citizens that are taxpayers that if you give them too much idle time, they may just say, you've ruined my life. I have nothing left.
That's right. That's right. We're on the fast track for that.
More. Yeah.
You see, one of the things, Jim, that I believe our listeners need to understand, with a declaration of national emergency, the Constitution is terminated. The Constitution is as though it does not exist. Lockdowns can be forced. Masks can be forced. Forced restrictions on travel. Mask mandates will be implemented. The shutdown of any banking, the shutdown of any use of your own money and force you to use the digital currency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe we're on the fast track for that. So, Jim, the thing that I challenge our listeners to do is to recognize the danger that we're in, the precarious position that we're in, and to realize that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. And we need to pray, plan, prepare, as though we're going to be here 1,000 years, to be prepared for what will happen tomorrow. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for joining in the dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious issue, and I believe that we need to recognize that we're on the horizon for the potentiality of Joe Biden declaring a national emergency, and that national emergency will allow our Constitution to be terminated, to be set aside as though it doesn't exist. You can't say, well, I've got a right to keep and bear arms. I've got a right to religious freedom. I've got a right to freedom of speech. Those rights will be absolutely destroyed as a result of a national emergency declared by Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, the only hope we have is to keep looking up, realizing that one day Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years and then throughout all of eternity. Thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7,